Good evening. The time is now 5:03 in the Warwick City Council Finance Committee is in session. May I have a motion to approve the minutes for the September 4th, 2024 meeting?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Oh, did you second? I'm sorry. Did you second? Yeah. Okay. Thank you. On to PCR 89-24, resolution relative to bids. May I have a motion for acceptance of the meeting minutes held on September 4th, 2024?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Item number one is bid 2025-130. This is OHCD Padula Square Improvements. This is found on page one. Good evening, Chief of Staff.
Good evening, Bill Facenti, Chief Staff and Community Development Program Manager. Tonight I'm before you asking for approval in the amount of $78,310 to make improvements to the Padula Square. It's located in the East Natick area of the city between West Pontiac and Pontiac Streets. We talked at length about abandoning some property in the right-of-way to make this project happen in the last 2 months. This is for the actual construction of the square. What it is a traffic calming measure. The Neighborhood Association put this in its master plan, I believe, in 2009. Takes a little time. This is endorsed by the Neighborhood Association, and we are going to need to change the budget code, so I guess I'll need an amendment as well. We went out to bid, received 5 responses to the bid. We had 10 vendors at the mandatory pre-bid, 5 of the responders. There was one Warwick company, God Works Inc., and they happened to also be the lowest qualified bidder. Prices ranged from a low of $78,310 to a high of $125,975. Any questions?
Thank you, Chief. I'd like to give, if it's okay with this committee, pass on a statement and or question to Ward 8, Councilman Sinapi, since this will be in his ward. Any objections?
No.
Thank you. Councilman Sinapi, would you like to add?
Other than to enthusiastically request approval, that's about it.
Thank you. Any questions, comments from this committee that can top that? There are no questions. Are there any questions, comments from members of the council? Are there any questions, comments from members of the public? Thank you, Chief.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I do need to amend the budget code.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, please.
So the first budget code is going to be remain the same, 510-05718, the amount of $14,753.74. The second budget code will be changed from 510-0400 to 510-05059.
Can you 510-05?
059. Same dollar amounts.
0505.
Yes.
Thank you. And what was that amount, please?
$63,556.26.
So I'm going to read it back to you, Chief and Solicitor, just to verify that I got the numbers correct. Before I read it back, Chief, may I have the correct and the budget code that we're staying, the budget code that we're keeping?
510-05718, in the amount of $14,753.74.
And if you don't mind, I'll say then the budget code in the amount of $63,556.26 is being changed from 510400 to budget code 510-0505.
No. So one more time. So I don't know if it has to be exact, but the budget code 510-0400 is being changed to 510-05059.
05059. That's what I missed. Okay, thank you.
For $63,556.26.
Yes. Okay, we have, hold on one moment. I'm just going to update one more thing in my notes. So for the record, for clarification, bid 2025-130 is now PCR 9024. It is to keep budget code 5100518 in the amount of $14,753.74. We are amending from budget code 510-400 to budget code 5100509 in the amount of $63,556.26. Concur?
I believe you forgot a number in the keep the original 510-05718.
Mr. Chairman?
That's why we do this.
So the only change, Chief, is the striking 510-0400 and replacing with 510-05059.
Correct.
All other numbers are the
same. All the other numbers
are the same. So an amendment would only need to make that one change, Mr.
Correct.
Chairman.
Thank you.
Clearly made it more complicated than it needed to be. Sorry.
I just want to make sure I get the notes correct. Thank you. Okay. So to keep it clear, are there any questions, comments on the change from members of the committee? Questions, comments from members of the council? Questions, comments from members of the public? May I have a motion on the amendment?
Favorable action.
Second.
I have a motion for favorable. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
May I have a motion on PCR 90-24 as amended?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Chief. At this time, there are four items left on the docket. I am going to go through the committee, through the council, and then through the public. If there is an item that they would like to discuss on this docket, please indicate when I get to the call it out. I would like to begin. I'm going to request we speak on bid 2025-186, DPW purchase new tires, found on page 12. Are there any items within the bid package members of this committee would like to discuss?
I'm good.
Thank you. Are there any items within this bid package that members of the council would like to discuss? Councilman Lattistore.
I would like to discuss 2023-257, State of Rhode Island Premium Diesel, found on page 4.
Councilman Lattistore requests bid 2023-257, DPW, State of Rhode Island Premium Diesel Exhaust Fluid. That is found on page 4.
Correct.
Thank you. That's it. Are there any other items members of the council would like to discuss? Are there any items members of the public would like to discuss? Thank you. As always, I think it's just convenient to go in order, so we'll begin with bid number two. I apologize. Item number two, bid 2023-257, DPW, State of Rhode Island Premium Diesel Exhaust Fluid. This is found on page 4. Director of DPW Purchasing, if you don't mind introducing, and then Councilman Lattistore, you have the floor.
Christy Moretti, Public Works.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman. So when I look at the numbers, this original bid was $120,000, and you've had it in place now for it's about 10 months, actually 22 months. And that averages out over the bid time of about $5,000 a month. So I was wondering why you feel you need $35,000 for the last 2 months, as opposed to what you've been averaging per month of $5,000.
So we've had some excessive repairs, particularly for the sanitation fleet. So when we have a hydraulic leak, when there's a transmission problem, even when they do a regular oil change, the volume is a lot. Plus, this also covers our grease and our DEF fluid, which at this point probably 80% of our fleet uses. The diesel vehicles also have an additive to the fluid, which is it's diesel exhaust fluid. It's DEF for short. So while I don't anticipate that we will spend $35,000, I would like to make sure that we have the items, we have the ability to order any of the products that we might need between now and the end of November.
So you feel you need to have a cushion of 3.5 times the amount that you've had to have or that you've used over the last 22 months?
Well, like I said, we've had some excessive repairs lately. And, you know, our hydraulic tanks are 120 gallons. So that's 2.5 drums, basically.
Are there any encumbrances at this time?
No, I don't. There might be a small one for diesel exhaust fluid, which is usually around $10,000. But last year we spent, well, in fiscal year 23, we spent $47,712. In fiscal year 24, we spent $64,446. Let me just backtrack a second. The full amount for fiscal year 23 doesn't necessarily count towards the cap. And that's just for our motor oil line item, which is where all of our fluids come from, all of our greases, all that kind of stuff. So that those numbers also don't include the DEF fluid that we purchased. So like I said, it is a cushion for us. It's not that we need or are going to spend it, but if we need to order 6 drums of automatic transmission fluid that are almost $5,000 a piece, then I want to make sure the department has it mm-hmm. so we can continue to keep the trucks on the road.
Are there any open invoices as of today?
I believe there are a couple invoices in about 9,300.
In totality, you said you yes. believe there's a couple. So it's a total of 9,300 of open invoices right now?
I believe so.
Is that?
I'm not 100% positive on that number, but.
Okay, approximately. Mm-hmm. So this $35,000 extension is going to be used to pay for the 9,300 of invoices that are outstanding right now?
No, we do have a bit okay. of a cushion left on the cap that we were originally awarded. I'm just asking for spending authority so we don't run into a problem where if we need something mm-hmm. and we don't have enough spending authority to buy it and the council meeting it's not timely for us to do that. I'm just looking yep, forward.
I understand. What is left in that line item now?
The bid cap or the bid?
Out of the 120,000, what's the balance as of today?
Well, the bid cap is 120,000 right now. So right now we have about this 9,300 came off the 13,000. So we probably have around 4,000 or 5,000.
Okay. I'm sorry, did you say 4,000 or 5,000?
Yes.
Okay. Left. Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you for that, Christy. Thank you, Chairman.
Yes, sir. Are there any further questions from members of the council? Are there any questions from members of the public? Please, to the microphone. One moment, please, Ms. Sharon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So in this matter, and I've seen a few others, the city operates on a fiscal year, and this contract is ending in November. Why aren't we extending it to June 30th and have all of the contracts valid to coincide with our fiscal year spending? and not just have this end. And then November, December, they're going to have to come back to get 7 more months of spending. It's just seems kind of foolish to me. But thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions from members of the public? Thank you. Next is bid 2025-186. I request that this is purchase of new tires found on page 12. Chrissy, earlier this week, upon reviewing this, I noticed that it was a small amount. I'm used to seeing 6 digits, like, you know, a couple $100,000 for the fleet of vehicles. And I noticed this one was 30. And then I also noticed that we usually, if I understand it correctly, we have Sullivan Tire. And so there was a question of why are we going out to bid for a supplementary? And the answer I got is, which I agree with, I just want to put it on record, okay? Mm-hmm. Goodyear is the supplier, and they are out of Ohio. Sullivan is a local Goodyear dealer. They are the local. Pete's is local in Providence and will only be utilized if we cannot get tires that need them immediately. So with that, you did explain why the amount, in my mind, when we talk about tires, and I'm not taking this term lightly, but is so low. You know, it's a 30, but this is a preventative maintenance, if you will. So if Sullivan is late or if Goodyear cannot supply those tires right away, we have an alternate we can go to get those tires replaced, to get those vehicles back on the road and to keep the constituent services going.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. So this is just from that area there. So we're still utilizing Sullivan's. This is just an alternate, kind of like when we do paving or when your department does paving. You have a primary, but if they say, hey, we're not going to get there, you have a secondary that you can go to?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the time to explain that to me.
Of course.
Any questions for members of this committee? Any questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisor.
How many vendors bid on this originally?
2.
And that's the 2 that the chairman just alluded to?
Yes.
So Pete's Tire Barn, they didn't bother bidding last time.
They did not.
And instead of going with the other company that did bid, you're requesting that we award or at least add to the vendor list a company that didn't bother bidding in the first place.
Correct.
Why?
Because as the chairman just stated, the Goodyear bid that was submitted, that company is out of Ohio. And Sullivan Tire is our local Goodyear distributor. So why Goodyear bid against their local distributor, I have no idea. However, Pete's Tire Barn is right in Providence. So the only reason we would go to Pete's for any tires is if Sullivan cannot provide us with whatever size tire we need for whatever vehicle. If we can get it from Pete's, then we will go get it from Pete's and have it mounted here. But the problem is that we can't down trucks because we can't get tires, particularly sanitation. So that's why we're asking to add this vendor in the event that we have a truck that needs tires and Sullivan can't provide them for us, like immediately, because usually when we need tires, we need them either, you know, next day or whatever. If Sullivan can't do that, we have an option where we can get the tires on the truck and get it back on the road.
So Sullivan Tire is the distributor for Goodyear, right?
They're a Goodyear distributor that...
A distributor of Goodyear.
Yes.
And is Pete's Tire Barn also a distributor of Goodyear?
I couldn't confirm that.
The tires that you would anticipate purchasing from Pete's Tire Barn, Will they be Goodyear tires?
I couldn't confirm that either. If we're going to Pete's to get tires, it's the size that we're looking for, not the brand.
So Sullivan's Tire, do they handle only Goodyear tires?
I think they also do Bridgestone. There might be one other.
Do they handle the same tires as Pete's Tire Barn would handle?
Well, they handle the same size tires.
So my point is, you don't have to have Goodyear tires. If you don't have a Goodyear tire available in a particular size that you need, Sullivan Tire would have other options available to you. It just wouldn't necessarily be a Goodyear tire. As Pete's Tire Barn, they apparently can't provide you with a Goodyear tire, but they could provide you with something else. It just, it seems unfair to me that here we are once again going to potentially reward a company that didn't bother taking the time to bid on something in the first place. So they were obviously too busy or were not interested. But now here we are. We have three or four other options with Sullivan Tire to keep the business there with a different manufacturer, but we want to, for some reason, put Pete's Tire Barn on the vendor list.
Our interest is to keep the trucks on the road. You know, if we can get them from our bidded vendor, then we'll absolutely do that. Mm-hmm. But our interest is not the brand of tire or where it comes from. We're asking permission to do the right thing by the residents of the city. We don't care if they say, you know, Mickey Mouse's tire. We need the tire to put on the vehicle. We can't down trucks because we can't get tires for 3 days.
I understand. And I also understand that you said that Sullivan Tire has three or four other brands of tires that you could use.
Correct. And okay. And we do. But if they can't provide us the size, then they can't give us the tire. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chairman, never mind. It's not going to matter.
Further questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the public? Hearing none, may I have a motion on PCR 89-24?
Most favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Next is PCR 88-24, a resolution relative to issuing requests for proposals for community projects. This is put forward by Council President McAllister. Council President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There are a number on this this docket here. Ward 2, Norwood Gazebo Repairs. Ward 2, Norwood Park Community Garden, ADA compliant path and park benches. Ward 2, Drayden Boulevard, asphalt path, berm, tree plantings and benches. Ward 2, Fairfax Island Repairs and tree plantings. Ward 4, Walter Santos Outlook Park Bench. Ward 6, Oakland Beach and City Park Beach Sand. Ward 6, Seaview Drive solar powered speed signs. And I also wanted to make sure that the council members were aware that also within this this resolution here, we made a note. We want to make sure that all ARPA funds are spent. We are not going to return any money to the federal government. So any ARPA ward project funds that are not spent, so some if in case there's, you know, one ward that has $500 left or $1,000 left or $10 left, funds that are left over that need to be allocated by the end of this year will be allocated by this resolution to the paving and asphalt budget within your ward. So we're just covering all the bases here. Please continue to put in your ward requests on that. But if there are any funds remaining by the deadline here, They will go into paving and asphalt budget to serve the public. Thank you.
Thank you, Council President. Any comments from members of the council? Okay, Councilwoman Travis, thank you.
The correct, well, maybe the president didn't read that last line. It says Ward 6 Seaview Drive and Pequot Avenue, solar powered speed sign. Did you see that? Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure Pequot was in there. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Are there any other questions, comments from members of the council? Any questions, comments from members of the public? May I have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. The time is now 5:29 and the Warwick Finance Committee is closed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next committee to meet is the Ordinance Committee, and that can start at 6 p.m. So we'll see you back here at 6 o'clock.
So the Ordinance Committee will convene at 6:01 p.m. First things first, we do not have everybody at this time. So do we have a tag in? So first on the First on the docket, acceptance of minutes from the council meeting held on August 19th, 2024. Do we have a motion?
Move to approve.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next, we have PCO 9-24, an ordinance to prohibit through trucking on Pilgrim Parkway, Easton Avenue, Partition Street, Elmwood Avenue, south of Post Road, and Atlantic Avenue between Post Road and West and Warwick Avenue. This would be first passage, and it's Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I'll request favorable action, and at the pleasure of the chair, I have a few short comments.
How about it?
Thank you. So the Pilgrim neighborhood, Spring Green neighborhood, there are some other neighborhoods in that immediate vicinity. The general idea here is that 18-wheelers, large box trucks, they'll sometimes cut across these city streets in order to get from Post Road to Warwick Ave. In reality, what should be happening is that all of these large trucks should be sticking to the state roads. That is Post Road, Warwick Avenue, Airport Road. They shouldn't be cutting through that neighborhood. We already have ordinances on the books. This is amending an ordinance that is on the books to add these five streets. So the ordinance on the books already prohibits through trucking on Fairfax Drive, Sand Pond Road, Buckland, Massasoit, and some other streets right in that area. And so by adding these five, the idea is that there's no sneaky way through to cut through the neighborhood to try to save that couple of minutes at the expense of disturbing the neighbors and all that wear and tear on our city streets. Let the wear and tear be on the state streets, which are actually designed for these kinds of weight limits. Specifically, this deals with Pilgrim Parkway, Easton Avenue, Partition Street, Elmwood Avenue south of Post Road, and Atlantic Avenue between Post Road and Warwick Avenue. So this will tighten up that ordinance so that there is no possible way for these trucks to cut through that neighborhood without violating this ordinance. It's certainly not going to solve the problem because ultimately, as noted in the favorable traffic study, ultimately it is a matter of enforcement that's actually going to get results here. But I do think that this ordinance is also going to make it a little bit simpler for the police to enforce this as well, because the police may not necessarily need to follow a vehicle all the way through the neighborhood because these streets are listed individually. And if one of these big box trucks or 18-wheelers is cutting through one of these particular streets, it seems to me that the intent of this ordinance and the way that the ordinance will read is such that if that big box truck enters one of those particular streets and the police see them exiting that particular street, the police officer doesn't have to necessarily catch them going through the entirety of the neighborhood. So I know that this is a little bit unusual to have five streets added all at once to the ordinance, but it is supported by a favorable traffic study, and that's the logic. Thank you.
Any questions or comments from members of the committee? No. Any questions or comments from members of the council? Any questions or comments from members of the public? Of course.
Just a quick thought. We're going to be putting up school cameras, school zone cameras, red light cameras. Perhaps we could explore the idea of capturing certain plate types, and then you won't have to worry about the policemen out there on these streets, because clearly these people don't belong on side streets and they need to be stopped. And a few cameras, I think, could really stop the whole problem.
And can you just identify yourself, please, too?
I'm sorry?
Can you identify yourself for
Lynn? Sorry, Ann Sheridan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Of course.
Works better when the mic is turned on. Thank you, Chairman. And to respond to the public comment, I wholeheartedly agree with that. I don't believe that the cameras are set up in that way currently, but if the administration were able to find a way to add that type of capability, I would be all for it. Anything to make the job easier, make this all that much more enforceable, and hopefully the mere existence of those no-through trucking signs and those various cameras, I would hope, would have a bit of a deterrent effect so that we can mitigate that problem in the first place. Ultimately, just like everything else with the cameras, it's really not about generating revenue. It's about changing the behavior so that these massive trucks aren't barreling down the road, creating a safety hazard, and otherwise putting all that unnecessary wear and tear on the city roads that are simply not designed for this. Thank you.
Yeah, random fun story. I got to watch a tractor trailer get stuck on Hardig Road and the cops had to show up. It's a good time. All right, any other questions or comments from any party? All right, seeing none, do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second. Motion made and seconded, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next, we have an PCO 13-24, an ordinance requiring a public hearing before the City Council regarding the five-year budget forecast. This would be first passage, and it's Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I am going to ask our council solicitor to speak to the language regarding public hearing. I had not requested to have this done at a public hearing, which would require a stenographer and costs and expenses that are not necessary. What I am looking for is for a comment period, question and answer period, if you will, at a council meeting, regularly scheduled or at a special council meeting. So the intent is not to have a public hearing, but I'll ask the solicitor to just clarify that.
Through the chair. Thank you, Councilman, Chairman. This is certainly something that can be clarified before the council itself with a clarifying amendment. Your intent is put on record, so if we could certainly address that at the council level, and I'll finalize that language accordingly should that be in play.
Okay. So the reasoning that I've presented this ordinance is I believe that when we're discussing the finances of a $360 million a year budget or corporation or however you happen to view it, I believe that it's very important to be as open and as forthcoming as possible with these five-year forecasts. I think these forecasts are extremely important, particularly for the members of the public and the taxpayers who are not involved in this on a day-to-day basis or even on a monthly basis or even a quarterly basis. Oftentimes, these forecasts and numbers that they're viewing are, it's the first time see. And there are many questions that people have regarding this. And I believe it's a disservice to not have or not allow the members of the public to have an opportunity to ask these questions when this five-year forecast is being presented. There are oftentimes, I found, regardless of the research and time and effort that I put into a particular item, that as discussion continues to move along at a council meeting, there's other things that trigger more questions for me, questions I may not have had until that very moment. I also realize that doing a five-year forecast is, it's a challenge. And in the private sector, we have to do them actually on a regular basis. If we are approaching a lender for a line of credit, we have to present them with a lot of financial information. We have to answer a lot of questions. We have to also anticipate that somewhere along the line, we may have a disruption in that forecast. We may have, such as in the early 1990, the banking crisis, such as three recessions, including the Great Recession, and including COVID. That certainly will have an impact on making adjustments to a five-year forecast. But that shouldn't preclude us from having an open discussion on and about that five-year forecast. It shouldn't preclude us from affording members of the public to ask those questions during a council meeting on the record. And it certainly shouldn't preclude us from having those questions answered as they are presented. And those are the reasons why I am respectfully requesting favorable action on this. I certainly don't understand why there would be an objection to hearing the questions that are asked from members of the public. Regardless of whether or not we happen to agree with those questions, regardless whether or not we have a problem with those questions, I think it's prudent upon us as a governing body to afford that opportunity to anyone that takes the time to come here and has have those questions answered, which include questions sometimes difficult. Why wasn't this included? Why wasn't that included? Why was this? Why was that? And in spite of submitting those questions in writing, it still doesn't always result in a straight answer. And to result in a chess game back and forth, that doesn't make any sense either. So with that said, Mr. Chairman, I am respectfully requesting favorable action on PCO 13-24. Thank you.
All right. Are there any comments or questions from members of the committee? Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So on this particular one, I'll just give my my thoughts on that. You know, the five-year plan is not something that the council votes on or can change. There's always going to be questions about the assumptions that are made. Why was this included? Why wasn't this included? And I think that's what most of the questions would be based on. The other fact on these five-year plans, the report is instantly dated almost immediately. For example, this last report that came out this summer in July and updated in August, it didn't factor in. We had just after the report came out, we sold additional school bonds, and we actually had a lower rate that was projected in the five-year report, and it was actually a $700,000 plus improvement towards the city. So it would have made the report look even better. And that's just an example. Could go the opposite way, of course, if the interest rates were higher than what was projected. So that's my concerns with having the. I think it's important that the five-year plan is done. It's also part of the state requirement. We have it presented to the council. It is made public. It is presented to the council, so everybody is aware of it. But it's just one part. It's just one tool. It's one. It's one report that, again, the council does not vote on. It's not like we approve a five-year plan, or we're going to take a vote on the five-year plan. Additionally, and I give the. It's almost redundant because we have something in place that I think is much more beneficial to the council and the taxpayers already on the books, and that is Rule 42, which was sponsored by Councilman Lannister and Councilman Ricks, which we passed this past year, the council, which I support and still support, and that has to do with inviting the actuary to come and give a presentation to the city council before the budget. So I think that report is what we should be focusing on, because that is something that the actuary will come, they'll give us hard numbers, especially right before we do the budget. And that the budget is something that we vote on as council members, and it's the number one thing that we vote on. So my suggestion is that we use the actuary report, Rule 42. We haven't implemented it yet. So credit gives to my colleagues for putting that forward. I think that's something that we should do before this next budget here. And I think that's kind of a report that has much more teeth, and is something that we can drill down on, and it's directly benefit to that year's budget that is coming up, which the council will vote on. So that's my thoughts on this proposal. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I think that Council President McAllister has raised some good points. However, I would tend to side in favor of this ordinance, and that's because while Rule 42, that presentation is going to be important to have before the budget hearings, by and large, the vast majority of costs that are in the city budget have to do with pensions, benefits, salary, of course. So the five-year plan tends to be presented and otherwise submitted to the state generally before we on the city council review the various contracts with the collective bargaining units. And I think that there is a benefit to having a hearing of the five-year plan at that point in time as well. Even for the years where there are no collective bargaining agreements coming up for ratification, there is some benefit as well to having this type of hearing in the late summer or early fall, in addition to having the Rule 42 type of hearing in the, or at least opportunity to receive that information, ask questions, et cetera, even if not as a technical matter, a so-called public hearing with a stenographer. But yeah, putting that aside, I do see the benefit in having this second opportunity each year to review, look at the big picture. Obviously, everything when it comes to the budget is a moving target, but having those two opportunities per year, I think, is a net positive. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from members of the council? Councilman Gebhardt.
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, I think good points raised by all. In my experience, in my professional life, I do a lot of this type of forecasting activity. Larger organizations have, someone in charge of financial planning and analysis or something, and it's literally their whole job to put together these type of forecasts and scurry around and review it with stakeholders, with inside, outside, board. And the one thing I could say about a forecast is no forecast ever gets worse based on having more input. And so while this may be, taxing for the finance director to come here and stand up and get a whole bunch of questions from the public, if even one of those adds a new perspective, I think it is overall helpful. I completely acknowledge what the council president said, which is that, as soon as you print this thing, it's effectively worthless, right? Because the world changes and interest rates change and everything else changes. But talking through those future scenarios, none of us have a crystal ball. The finance director doesn't have a crystal ball. But talking through those scenarios helps illuminate the different conditions that could happen out into the future. And it takes some of the surprise out of, when we get 3 years from now, we've had ample opportunity to talk about what some of the things that may or may not happen are. So I'll keep an open mind here. Certainly don't want to be doing this type of activity, once a month or something. It's far too frequent. But as part of our overall financial management practice here, we have the budget. Now we have the actuary. And potentially now we have, a session on our five-year plan, or five-year forecast. We call it the five-year plan, but it's more of a five-year financial forecast. I don't see where it's going to introduce a lot of harm. If anything, it just brings in more input, softens the blow, provides more transparency and more opportunity to interact with the future of the city's finances. So I don't think it's a terrible idea, but I will listen to others. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from members of the council? Councilman Howe.
Thank you so much, Chairman. Very quickly, I, of course, do not support this resolution or ordinance because we have a budget hearing every year, and I'm going to kind of piggyback on what the council president said. We have a budget hearing every year, and every year the new challenges that are before us are in that budget, and every year the city, on the responsibility of the corner office, the chief executive and that team within the corner office, their responsibility is to put together a budget that we pinpoint and break down every year. What this is doing is taking a five-year forecast and they want to nitpick or pinpoint a five-year projection, if you will. We do that during the budget season, and that goes along with what the council president said. This five-year forecast is just that. We cannot decide or predict what storms are coming in a matter of 1 year than what we can do with this financial forecast. That's what the budget hearings are for. And each one of us dedicate an entire week, and or I should say an entire month, of a lot of home study of that budget, contacting, calling, seeking answers of that budget. All these questions can be addressed. And then, of course, the long term can also be, if people actually look at it with an open mind and open eyes, the long term can be kind of, you could see the path of where we're going every year in that annual budget. This five-year budget is a responsibility of the corner office to say, here's what we anticipate. So to spend comments on that five-year budget to me seems redundant, and it's curious where the idea came from, but no need to answer, I know. And it just, we do this every May. It's budget season, and we go over the budget every May. And as the council president said, that is what we vote on. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from members of the council? Councilman Foley.
Thank you. Just, I'll try to be quick. I support Councilman Howell and Council President McAllister. 5 years ago, when I first ran for this seat, I ran with the pledge of making the council more effective and efficient. This does not do that. To nitpick, I'm sorry, I don't want to use the word nitpick. To pinpoint questions in a five-year forecast is not effective, is not efficient. As the council president said, we have the actuary coming here with hard numbers to in answering our questions. And then, as Councilman Howell said, we have a month of May dedicated to the budget, 3 to 4 nights, and we will stay here as long as necessary to have the questions answered. By being effective and efficient, you call the directors ahead. You ask your questions. You do your homework. To put on a public display simply to campaign is not effective, is not efficient, and is not the role of this council. Thank you.
Any other members of the council that haven't spoken? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's actually surprising to me to hear anyone saying that people who are asking questions about a five-year forecast are nitpicking. This is not, efficiency isn't about how quick we can get out of this chamber. Efficiently is how efficient we can overview and oversee the financial expenses of the city.
Just as a quick point of order, Councilman Lattiser.
Go ahead.
He clarified that he didn't actually mean nitpicking. Just wanted to point that out.
Point taken. To think that it's okay to alienate the public or to restrict their ability to ask questions about items in a five-year forecast that, by the way, may be helpful. It may just present a different spin on what our financial future holds. It may also include items that were not included for whatever reason in this financial five-year forecast. This is how entities in government gets in trouble, when there are differences in financial forecasts that are not discussed and that are not disseminated. And more importantly is, why would anyone be afraid or concerned or disagree with allowing the public who pays the bills, all of us who are on this city council? I know we all pay the bills too, but so do the other thousands and thousands of people that live in the city. They pay the bills. They have a right to be heard. Whether we agree with the questions or the message or the messenger, that's not for us to determine. But as a legislative branch of government, and as that branch of government who is essentially responsible for every nickel and dime that's spent over $2,500, we have an obligation, in my opinion, we have an obligation to hear from the public, to hear what they have to say, to hear their questions, and to get those questions answered here in public on the council floor. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Do any members of the public have any questions or comments? Oh, I apologize, Ms. Sheridan. Councilman Foley?
To clarify, efficiency has nothing to do with getting out those doors. I'm an English teacher. Efficiency is getting to the point, getting the information in an effective way. Campaigning at the podium or at your seat is not effective or efficient. That's A. I'm not denying anybody the access to ask questions. They can email me, they can call me, they can email the chief of staff, they can call the mayor's office. And then if they want to, when the actuary comes, there's a time for questions. And as Councilman Howe points out, in the month of May, when we do the budget, they can ask questions, specific questions. One other point of clarification, I clarified myself. I did not mean to say nitpick. I went to point out, to pinpoint. That's what, when the actuary's here, and that's what we do when the budget is in front of us. Thank you.
Ms. Sheridan, sorry, go ahead. And please, even though I'm identifying you, please identify yourself for the record.
I'm sorry?
Please go ahead and do the usual identifying yourself for the record.
Ann Sheridan. I've been a resident of Warwick since 1970. I've lived in Wards 8 and 9 my entire life. I've only been coming to these council meetings regularly for the last year and a half. I think obviously, since I'm standing here and one of the few residents that's been listening to this, I think that a discussion about the five-year plan is warranted. There are 8,008 single-family homes in the city of Warwick owned by senior citizens. 8,000, that's over 30% of the households, probably even more than that, that are seniors. Most of us budget. We all do projections. Many of us are going to be looking at how long we can stay in our houses. You're going to be faced with a revaluation coming up and people looking to you to freeze taxes, because the abundance of seniors think that you should freeze taxes. I don't agree with that, because I don't think the city can handle it. You have hearings for the count for the budgets, and they are, in my opinion, slam dunk. I mean, I've sat and listened to a few people come back and get a little twister here or there. But most of all, when the administration sets a budget forward, it's going to go forward. And then you demand, whether you like it or not, that we pay the bill, because you approve the budget. It's a calculation of the budget versus the assessed value. You get a tax rate and you send out a bill, and we pay it. And yes, we can come to these meetings, but most people don't even realize that the meetings are going on. I mean, we had this bloody discussion about whether property tax information is going to be in the calendar or not. There's not even a calendar note that this council meeting is going on.
and you tell me that everything is on the website, well, I'm pretty efficient at websites and I've worked a long time, but I'm one of those seniors that has worked and has stayed up to date with technical changes. It is nothing wrong with giving people the opportunities to hear what the forecast is. People are afraid over financing the schools and they need more information. If you all voted slam dunk that we were going to get two new schools and that we're going to be stuck with paying $350 million for a smaller footprint, and we have to pay this. I'm not leaving. Many of you are leaving the council. Give the next administration an opportunity to have this meeting. If you don't want it to be a council meeting, then maybe let's ask the mayor to do it and have the administration handle it. But there is nothing wrong with providing us with more information. I mean, I've looked at a couple of things just on the forecast, and I'm like wondering, where is this coming? And I will bring it up when I have a chance to speak later. But I certainly believe that there should be an opportunity, and I know all the pitfalls, and I know all the same people that are going to get up, and you're going to be disgusted to hear some of these people again and again and again say the same redundant things. But they're valid concerns, and they're concerns you have all heard in every one of your conversations with your constituents. And yes, we can email people, and sometimes we get email, because you all know I email you all sometimes. And sometimes I get answers, and sometimes not. And God bless my councilman. He puts up with me a lot because he gets a lot of emails and text messages almost daily, I guess, and some of them are multiple times a day. I want to say I represent probably most of the 8,000 senior homeowners in this city. People need to know they can stay and they're not going to be forced out. And the only way is to have an honest discussion about what the future looks like. I plan to be here 5 years from now, and my finances tell me I can do that. And a lot of us, some seniors have financial advisors, you know, we're lucky enough, and some don't. And we've had this discussion many times about, is it the city's responsibility to keep people in the house or not? And maybe a discussion about 5 years would be enough for people to say, maybe it's time for me to move into something else. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members of the public wish to speak on this? And Chief, do you have anything on behalf of the administration?
Good evening. Bill Facente, Chief Staff to Mayor Picozzi. Not going into the details again, what Council President McAllister said and Councilman Howe, it is, it's a forecast. The hurricane forecast, the precipitation forecast in stock markets, it's a point in time. As soon as that paper is printed, it's out of date. To be questioned on assumptions that are pretty well spelled out in the memo from Director Schaefer, it's, as far as the administration feels, is not necessary. This administration is one of the most transparent that I've worked for. And anytime anyone wants to ask a question, they can contact me. But to have Director Schaefer or whoever is in his place come before the city council and be asked on a forecast that he's not they are not psychics. There's no crystal ball. It's a point in time. And as they said, as soon as it's printed, the information is stale, and being questioned on the assumptions is just, it's not what the council's role is. You can't vote on it. So that's all I have to say.
All right. So at least, Ann, go ahead. Or Ms. Sheridan, sorry.
We all understand that a forecast is a moment in time. It's just a forecast. Nobody's expecting anybody to nail anybody to commit to anything. You commit to a budget that's even fluid. Budgets are overspent, underspent. We all understand that. What people would appreciate is being treated like adults that can look at something that happens to be a forecast and just listen and let people hear you explain how you got there and why you got there. I mean, the headlines were that we can all guarantee to expect a 4% increase every year. Interesting. I happen to know that we can go beyond that with certainty. We can go to the General Assembly and request to go over that for good reason. And lo and behold, the schools could be very good reasons. So we could be looking at spending even more money. And I think it wouldn't hurt. To be, I don't know, nice, kind, considerate of the people that pay the bills. And that's all people are asking, is just give us an opportunity to plan for our own lives. I mean, most of us know that the bills, everything's going up. There's very little that stops. But when you look, at the fact that the cost of education already is $25,000-$26,000 a child. Commercial real estate is not being built aggressively. The homeowners are always going to be, it's always going to be 30-60 with the burden 60% on the homeowners. The more information people have about this city and the wants and the needs of the city, can't be enough. Thank you.
Because I didn't turn my mic on in time, I'll just state for the record that that was Ann Sheridan from Ward 9. I was for the record, identifying you because I failed to ask you. It's not your fault, it's mine. Any other members of the public wish to speak?
Mr. Chairman? If I may, the statement was made with your permission, Mr. Chairman.
Once we just finish with Richard, we'll be able to hear it. Or are you just signing up for the public comment?
Great. Oh, no, I'm here to speak on behalf of Mr. Lattiser's proposal.
Got it.
I've come here month after month and listened to him question management or the city administration about various aspects, and have come to understand that the public is really being cut out of a lot of discussion when it comes to the mayor and the administration, and the more that we can do to open this up to the public, the better. Warwick is changing. There are many new people moving in, mostly from the Boston area. And they expect a city, an open city. For instance, they're pushing for new high schools. Okay, a lot of people are saying we can't afford new high schools. But the truth is that if these people are moving in and they have higher income, you know, maybe we can afford the new high schools. But we need to have a forum where the people can discuss these kinds of things. So I very much speak in favor of this. Thank you very much.
Any other members of the public wish to speak? All right, seeing none, Councilman Howe.
Very quickly, Councilman, I just want to say I heard in the statement from the previous public speaker, it was a slam dunk for the council people to vote for the schools. Please understand that the vote was on behalf of our constituents. The citywide voted 60%, over 60%. To approve the $350 million bond for those schools. So we did represent our constituents. Thank you for the time.
Any other members of the council wish to speak? Councilman Gebhardt.
I thank you for another bite at the apple. I had a point I wanted to raise before, which is that the school committee just went through a very similar debate and exercise where the chairman was pushing to hold a meeting to talk about the status of building the schools. And he received a lot of pushback from members of the body, saying that, well, the schools are in flux. We're not going to, you know, something that might be in today might be out tomorrow, or might be back in, or might be bigger, or might be smaller. So why are we going to have a meeting with the public when things could change? And he told this sort of story to the members to say, you know, hey, if my wife and I were buying a house and we went to look at a bunch of houses and that she wanted four bedrooms and two bathrooms and attached, you know, garage, and I went to my real estate agent and said, here's my budget, and they said, whoa, you're not gonna be able to get that for that budget. You know, would you be better off just at the end signing the documents and showing her the two-bedroom house with no bathroom and no garage? Or would you be better off going together and stepping through the process so that you can see where you're going to end up? And I think it's our responsibility as the voice of the public in this city. Yeah, people can email us. Cool. But we can also, you know, offer folks 5 minutes to make a comment about questions they might have about the forecast. It's not going to take up that much of our time, and some of us may actually get something out of that. So I'm actually renewed in my vigor to support this.
Any other members of the council wish to speak? Councilman Lattister?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Councilman Lattister, I should add, too, you have 1 minute remaining.
I'm sorry?
You have 1 minute remaining.
To point out, it was actually 58% of the voters voted for the schools. And I also need to point out that I was the only member of the city council that voted no on those schools. I continue to vote no on those schools. And we're talking about information. We're talking about questions that need to be asked and perhaps should have been asked. Well, here we are. There's your perfect example about what you were told and what you're getting. So again, I think that it's extremely important for the plan that the plan includes the public. It's very important that the members of the public are part of the plan, because that old saying goes, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Thank you.
Any other members of the council wish to speak? Council President McAllister.
Thank you. Councilman, I believe you wanted to make an amendment, correct, on the terminology. You didn't want a public hearing, correct, originally. So why don't we might want to just move it to the full floor, move it out of committee at this time, and we could take it up at the full floor, and then I can acknowledge you to.
You can amend it right in committee, can't you?
We could, but.
I'm sorry?
The committee only makes recommendations. It'd be duplicating the process. So
we have to do it
if
twice.
You and I would like a sidebar quick, we can
That's fine.
It. So that would be my recommendation. We move it to the full floor, and then when it comes up, the councilman can make the amendment. We can do it the one time.
Move favorable action.
Well, I was going to make the motion to move to the floor for further discussion.
Dueling motions, how fun. The floor was still in McAllister, so he said he was going to make the motion. So the motion is to move it to the floor with no recommendation. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. I guess I'll save my piece till the full floor. All right. So looks like ordinance committee is concluded at 6:49 p.m. unless Lynn throws something at me.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. The next committee to meet is the public properties, and that can meet at this time. Also want to make a note that we do have public comment this evening, and there's a sign-up sheet on the podium there. If you would like to sign up, you can speak after 7 o'clock when the council meeting starts. Thank you.
The City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs comes to order at 6:50. First up, acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on September 4th, 2024. Do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Two items on the agenda. First, is PCO-11-24. This is Councilman Snappy. It is an ordinance amending the zoning ordinances of the City of Warwick, Rhode Island, City of Warwick, petitioner Rhode Island Custom Builders, applicant 1515 Centerville Road, assessor's plat 251, lots 11 and 12. Councilman Snappy, do you have a recommendation? All right, recommend public hearing. Do we have a motion?
Move it to a public hearing.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, second and final on the agenda, PCO-12-24, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinances of the City of Warwick, petitioner, Rhode Island Custom Builders, applicant, 1187 Post Road, assessor's plat 296, lots 162 and 579. This is in Ward 2. I will recommend moving to public hearing before the full council. Do we have a motion?
Move for a public hearing.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
So to be clear, those two items, they are going to be heard in front of the city council as a whole after the city council opens at 7 o'clock, following some other items as stated on the city council agenda. And with that, the committee adjourns at 6:52 p.m.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. And again, we will start the full city council meeting at 7 p.m. And just another reminder, if you'd like to be heard before the council this evening, there is a sign-up sheet, and we do have two public hearings where you have an opportunity to speak as well on those two projects. You do not have to sign up to be heard on those two public hearings. We will see you back here at 7 p.m.